The sound repeated itself, and the safety glass shattered outwards, followed by a foot wearing a heavy black combat boot. More glass flew outward, and then people started crawling out of the pickup, battered and bloodied. Beside Parker, there was a lantern-jawed lout whose nose I had flattened a few days ago, his nose now swollen and grotesque, and the bloodthirsty woman who had led the group in their berserk fit of lust. They were all dressed in the same variations of denim and leather, and cuts and bruises from the tossing they'd had were much in evidence. Parker led them out of the truck, looked back at it, stunned. Then he looked at me. I saw fear flicker in his eyes, and it brought out a satisfied surge within my own pounding heart. Served him right, the jerk. I spun my rod around once in my fingers, started whistling a bit from the overture to Carmen, and walked toward them through the grass, annoyed that I was limping and that I was dressed in a ridiculous blue jumpsuit that left inches of my arms and legs bare. Flatnose saw me and grunted out some sort of Neanderthal noise of surprise. He drew a handgun from inside his jacket, and it looked tiny in his hands. Without preamble, he started squeezing off shots at me. I lifted my left hand, forced more of my boundless energy through the shield bracelet, and sang a few phrases in what I suppose could have been taken for Italian to verbally encase the spell. I continued walking forward as the bullets bounced off the shield before my hand in cascades of sparks, and I even had enough breath left over to keep whistling Carmen. Parker snarled and slashed at Flatnose's wrists with the edge of his hand in a martial arts style movement. I heard a bone break, very clearly, but Flatnose only jerked his hand back toward his body and flashed Parker a scowl. "Remember why we're here," the shorter man said. "He's mine." "Hello there, Mr. Parker," I called cheerfully. I suppose that the image I presented as I walked toward them would have been comic, except for all the blood and the big smile I felt spreading all over my face. It seemed to have a somewhat intimidating effect on the street wolves, at any rate. The woman snarled at me, and for a second I could feel the wild, savage energy, the same that surrounded the frenzied lycanthropes at the Full Moon Garage, starting to build in the air around me. I gave the bitch an annoying look and slashed my hand in the air, drawling, "Dispodoras." I forced out an effort of will I might have found daunting on any other night, one when I was feeling a little less all-powerful, and the woman jerked back as though I had slapped her in the mouth. The energy she had been gathering fractured and flew apart as though it had never been. She stared at me, growing tense and nervous, and reached a hand toward a knife in a case at her hip. "Let's not have that nonsense. As I was saying," I continued, "hello there, Mr. Parker. I know why you're here. Heard about the ruckus on the police scanner and came by the station looking for me, right? I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not going to allow you to kill me." Flatnose scowled and said, "How did you know that?" Parker shoved the heel of his hand across Flatnose's mouth in a sharp blow, and the big man shut up. "Mr. Dresden," Parker growled. He eyed me up and down. "What exactly makes you think you can stop me from killing you?" I had to smile at the man. "I mean, you have to smile at idiots and children." "Oh, I don't know," I chuckled. "Maybe because the second you step out of line, I'm going to wreck you a whole hell of a lot worse than that truck. And because in just a couple of minutes, the police are going to arrive and sort you out." There was a momentary flash of dimness where the streetlight seemed to fade, the rain to grow very cold, and then it was gone again. I blinked a little blood out of my eyes and renewed my smile. Mustn't let the children see weakness. Parker snarled his thin lips into a smile. He had bad teeth. "The cops are after your ass, too, Dresden," he said. "I don't believe you." "Once they're here, I'm going to mysteriously disappear," I said. "Just like, well, gosh, magic. But you guys are..." I forgot what I was going to say for a moment. There was something nagging at the back of my mind, a detail I had forgotten. "I can smell your blood, wizard," Parker said very quietly. "God, you got no idea what it smells like." Parker didn't move. But the woman let out a mewling sound and pressed against Flat Nose's side. Her eyes were focused intently on me. "Get a good whiff," I managed to say. "It's the last time you'll smell it." But my smile was gone. The creeping vine of uncertainty was beginning to crack the wall of confidence I had been enjoying. The rain was getting colder, the lights dimmer. My extended left arm began to ache, starting at the wounded shoulder, and my hand shook visibly. Pain started leaking in again from every part of my battered body. Sanity returned in a rush. The potion was giving out on me. I had pushed myself way too hard while the first euphoria was going over me, dispelling the intimate aura of rage and lust that the women had begun to gather over them had been a feat I would never have considered in a stable frame of mind. There were too many unknowns. My heart was laboring along now, and I started panting. I couldn't get enough breath to slow down my rocketing heartbeat. Parker and his two companions grew tense together, all at once, with no visible signal passing between them. I could feel that wild energy again coursing down to the lycanthropes from beyond the rain clouds overhead. I swear to you, I could see the cuts on their body from the crash closing up before my eyes. Flat Nose rolled the wrist that had just been broken, flexed his fingers at me, and gave me a grim smile. "Okay, Harry," I told myself. "Keep calm. Do not panic. All you have to do is hold them here until the cops get here, and then you can bleed to death in peace. Or get a doctor. Whichever hurts less." "You know, Parker," I said, and my voice had a fluttering quaver to it, a fast, desperate quality. "I didn't really mean to show you up at your garage. Hell, I wouldn't have even been there at all if Denton's goon hadn't turned me onto the idea." "That doesn't matter now," Parker said. His voice had a quiet, certain tone to it, and he had visibly relaxed. He smiled at me and showed me more of his teeth. "That's all part of the past." Then Parker took a step forward, and I panicked. I jammed the rod at him and snarled, "Fuego!" I funneled my will through it, and to hell with what the council thought of me killing someone with magic. Nothing happened. I stared in disbelief, first at Parker, then at the blasting rod. My fingers went numb as I looked at them, and the rune-engraved ash rod fell to the ground, though I tried a clumsy grab to catch it. Instead, my weight came down on my torn foot, and the ripped muscles went into a sudden cramp that sent fresh agony up through my leg.